But I want to say thank you for coming. It's an honor, really. I'm fine. because when Nancy asked me to speak, it's been about 3 months ago, and or Debbie, and told me the title of the message, Uniquely Winners in the End. You know, that's what we live for, isn't it? The Bible begins with Genesis. It ends in Revelation, but it's a book that tells us the beginning from the end. Uniquely means rare, uncommon, one of a kind. and we are uniquely made in the image of Christ, aren't we? The scripture for today is the good news about God's kingdom will be preached in all the world to every nation. Then the end will come, Matthew 24:14. And then John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Pardon? John 24:14. And then Philippians 1:6. And this is a promise. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know, as I think about all of that, and I think about the Lord. He knew you. He knew us. He formed us. He planned us. Even in our mother's womb. And as I think about Sarah and the song she sings, he's been watching me. You know, it's so appropriate because he's been watching us. Not just from our first breath, but from the very moment of perception and maybe before. He's been watching us. He's been planning and creating your life. And as you look back over your life, you can see things that you know. And the older you get, the more you can look back and see, God, you did this 20 years ago to put me here today. It's such a miracle. It's such a wonder that the God of heaven knows us and has planned your life from beginning to end. And the Bible contains a complete story. The Lord woke me up one night speaking these words in my spirit. And this was right after my husband passed away in 07. I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans he has for us. Plans to give us hope and a future, an expected end. Plans of good, not evil. And then a few months later, he woke me up speaking one word, and that was journey. Journey. So we're on a journey from birth, from the beginning to the end. A journey. And when I think about this, I think of watching YouTube, and you know how it has a little mark at the bottom, and how you can take it to the center, you can take it further, you can take it back, whatever you want to watch. But our life is set kind of that way. Some of us may be on closer to the end. Some of us may be just beginning. Some of us may be in the middle. I do. But God knows you're in from the beginning. And just a few weeks ago, on Sunday night, this lady called me from Lawrenceville, and she wanted me to speak at the Aglow in Lawrenceville in July, for Monday morning. And I said, June, I really have to pray about that. Let me see. And I hung up thinking, Lord, you know, years ago, maybe, yes, but not now. I said, Lord, not now. I don't want to do that. You know, I knew what it took. I knew what it does. And I knew what you have to do. And I said, not now, Lord. I was ready to just, you know, enjoy what I do, but not really get up there and do this. And the next morning I woke up and it was still bothered me. So I said, okay, Lord, if this is you, confirm it. It wasn't 15 minutes till a pastor friend of mine called me. And he said, Lillian, I wanted to call you and share with you what my message was yesterday. I said, okay. Can you believe what the title of the message was? Just say yes. Just say yes. So it took me back to probably in the 70s when I first got back with the Lord and got back in church. Jesus, it seemed that the Lord was saying, just say yes. Whatever they asked you to do, just say yes. You've heard that spoken in this conference from several different people. And it doesn't matter if you're 10. It doesn't matter if you're 70. Just say yes. Because if you're here, God still has that plan for you. And you know, one of the things when you teach or when you have to dig down and study, you're the one that learns the most. You know, others may not get anything, but you do. So going back to the church, I remember I started in kindergarten. I went to the 6 and 7-year-olds on Wednesday night. Then I went to the 10, 11, 12-year-olds on Sunday morning. And I heard that the young adult teacher had left. And I thought, oh no, Lord, that's not for me. But I was standing there teaching that morning, and you know how God gives you things that you know it's God. So I heard this other lady over there, because you could hear through the walls, and I thought, oh, poor Lord, she's taking the class. Y'all, excuse me. She's taking the class. I won't have to do it. But the next night they called me, Sister Lillian, will you take that class? I said, oh, Brother Lieber, I'll have to pray about it. I knew the answer. Yeah. God had already given it to me. And you know, when God gives you something, you already know it. You know it in here. So I did take it. And I stayed there a year or so. And then I was moved to the senior adults. And I did lay evangelism. Excuse me. But the main thing, and you know, I've saw so many of my friends, so many people through life that God might have called them to work with the children. God might have called them to clean the church. And they would say, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. And I've talked to many of them. Just say yes, whatever he tells you to do. You know, that's what Mary told the disciples, the first miracle in the Bible at the wedding of Cana. She activated, actually, Jesus, I guess, because he had never done a miracle. And he said, woman, my time has not yet come. But she looked at the disciples and says, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Just say yes. So, of course, he turned the water into wine, and that was the first miracle that we know of. But those ladies that refused and would not start, do you know 20 years later, some of them 25 years later, are still sitting in the same place, waiting for their ministry, waiting for God to come down and give them something. But God, you know, we're like babies. We have to start with the milk. We have to start. We have to grow. It's a process. That's the journey. That's life. From beginning to end, it's a process. And, you know, as you grow and as you grow, you learn. The deeper your faith gets, the stronger your faith gets. So say yes. If you're asked to do something, of course, pray about it. It says this. Now, thank you. But I want to encourage you, you know, to seek the Lord, to stay in the Word. And start, if you're asked to start cleaning the bathroom, who was it, Norman Vincent Peale? Some of your great preachers, leaders of today, actually started as a janitor in the church cleaning the bathrooms. So whatever he asked you to do, you pray about it. And if somebody asked you to go out and do something wrong, no, you don't do that. But as long as it's in line with God, yes, you do. Yes, you do. So where are you on your journey? What are you doing? Are you walking out your destiny? Do you know what your destiny is? Do you know what your calling is? Have you had dreams and prophecies? And sometimes you're thinking, Lord, I've been prophesied to for years that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And Lord, I haven't saw it come to pass. What's wrong, Lord? Several years ago, I was laying in bed one night, and that's exactly what I was thinking. God, I was thinking of all the prophecies. Lord, why don't I see them come to fruition? And then I stopped and I said, no, Lord, they can't all be wrong. So I turned over and went back to sleep. Woke up the next morning and walked to the kitchen, and you women that have children, you know how it feels when your baby leaps. I felt something just leaping in my belly, and I stopped. I said, God, what is that? He said, you're pregnant with promises. So I went the next night. I was going, had invited this couple to come in from North Carolina. And when he pulled me up, he said, Lillian, he pulled me up, and he said, Lillian, I see you as though you're pregnant with the promises of God. And I cried and I cried and I cried. Because that's just like God. He gives you confirmation. When it's God, he's going to confirm it. My grandson had a real bad accident. He was T-boned by a tractor trailer. And I had to go to Ohio to be with him. Got there on Saturday. And then Sunday, his friend was in the room. You know, we could only stay in there like 10 minutes. And a lot of you know this. And thank everybody that prayed, because we had it all over the internet. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And there was a daily devotion from Ann Graham Mott today. God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask. He can't do it what he could, but he wants us to ask for these things. So this young boy was in the room, and he said, I wanted to pray with him yesterday before I left. And Wesley was on oxygen. He had frail lungs. He was crushed. The lungs in the back was crushed all on this side. He had a serious head injury. And so we were fixing to leave, and I said, if you want to pray, go now. So he stepped up beside the bed and just prayed a short prayer for Wesley. And I stepped up to the bed with him, and I thought I could see a glisten of a tear from his right eye. And I said, Lord, I don't have time to pray now. The Lord said, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. So I stepped up by the bed, and I said, Wesley, honey, I know you can't talk, but I know you're hearing me. I said, and I want you to pray with your heart and with your mind. And I just said a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Save my soul. And they were pushing us out. You know, it was critical, the critical care unit. So they were pushing us out. And as I went down the hall, I said, God, I'm scared it didn't take, Lord. That wasn't enough. You know, we feel like we have to pray long, long prayers sometimes. But sometimes it just takes a short prayer for God to hear. But it's a prayer of compassion, a prayer of caring, a prayer of love that I found that God hears. And if you've had a sickness or an illness and you can pray from that heart of compassion, You know, it seems that God answers those prayers quicker to me. But anyway, I said, God, you got to confirm it. So the next day, my daughter and I left the hospital. We were walking, I think we were in Walmart. And God just, it just swished, I just say, just dropped down into me. Wesley may never be quite the same, but he's mine now. I found my daughter. I said, Don, I got to tell you what the Lord just said. I said, God, this is you. You got to confirm it. Oh, ye of little faith. I said, Lord, you got to confirm it again. So the next day, this lady called me from Athens, Georgia, who is a minister. And during her prayer, it changed to prophecy. And in the prophecy, the Lord said, whether he lives or whether he dies, he's mine now. And I said, I got to go. I'll call you back just in a little bit. So when I called her back, she said, you'll never believe what just happened. I was talking with one of my top intercessors, and she was reading a poem, and in it, it talks about how he's mine now. So within 2 days, God confirmed that 3 times. And as I was up there this summer, I stayed about a month after surgery. I looked at him, and I thought, and I told him, I said, Wesley, God said, you wouldn't be quite the same, but you're his now. If you didn't know he had ever been, even the mental, even, you know, his hand started drawing, his foot started drawing, they're perfectly straight. But if you didn't know it, you would never know that he was in that kind of accident. He was God's now. When he came home, he called me. He said, Granny, something's different. I don't know what it is. I said, well, what are you talking about, Wesley? I don't know, Granny. I feel like I've never been here before. I said, well, how do you feel? He said, I don't want to punch somebody all the time. So just, you know, you may have a loved one that's in a coma. You may have a loved one on life support. But God sees the heart, and the hearing is the last thing to go. So just that short prayer, if the Lord leads you to it, you'll never know how many people you might usher in to the kingdom of God in their last moments. God will confirm it to you if you ask him. And he did the same thing with my husband. I think that's how I really learned to pray that prayer, because my husband had been sick for many years. And he always said he was bipolar. So he always said, I'm sorry, my mouth is dry today. He always said he'd been so bad, God wouldn't forgive him. And I said, no, you haven't. I said, that's a lie of the enemy. If you believe that, you can be damned. You can't believe that. You haven't. But it was the trick of the enemy to keep him from receiving. Because he was on life support. They would tell me to go home, make preparations. And I wouldn't go. I stayed there 3 weeks. I wouldn't leave him. I kept saying, God, I won't let you take him till I know that I know that I know that everything's okay. So my pastor came up with the assistant pastor. We were standing around the bed. And my daughter looked down, and his face was red, and there was tears. He hadn't responded in 3 days. But there was tears flowing down his face. And she said, Mama, I think Daddy wants us to pray for him. So the pastor prayed. I called him out of the room. I said, I want you to go back. I want you to make sure everything's okay. So he went back. And he just said that simple prayer. Just that simple prayer. Said amen and left. But that afternoon or the next morning, they took him off of life support. That afternoon, he motioned for me to come over to the bed. And he said, I had to bend down to hear him because he couldn't talk above a whisper. He said, Lillian, God does show mercy, doesn't he? I said, yes, honey, he does. He said, and Jesus is right here. I want you to know God gave him another year. And until I told God then, I said, Lord, I know he's ready. If it's time, you can take him. But he gave him another year. And when he did take him, he was still professing Jesus. I heard him around the throne of God. But, you know, I'm saying that to say this. we're winners in the end. The journey that we go through is not going to be smooth. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be easy, because the Lord says he wants to try people. He says we'll come forth as gold, doesn't he? And, you know, my grandson lived with me for a while, and he would say things he shouldn't say or something. I said, or disagree with me. I said, "Dustin, honey, what color is my hair?" I said, "The Bible says there's a wisdom that comes with this, with this hair." And, you know, as we get older, we realize that there is wisdom that comes with it, because we've walked through many things. We've walked through life. We've walked through death. And, you know, I'm reminded of Job. His wife said, "Curse God and die." You know, they had plenty. They were wealthy. But the Lord let Satan test Job, didn't he? And we see that. And Job said, "Even though you slay me." Have you ever said that to the Lord? I have. "Lord, even though you slay me, I'm going to trust you." And that's when you tie that knot and you hang on, because God is faithful. He is faithful to hear your cries and answer your cries. And you know, when you walk with the Lord many years, we know that there's nothing to go back to, are there? We have to hang on, because there's nothing to go back there for. There's a song. And you know, Evelyn mentioned songs this morning. The Lord deals with me with songs so much. But there's a song that the Crabb family sings. "He never promised the cross would not get heavy, the hills would not get hard to climb. He never offered a victory without trials. But he did say help would always come in time." Comes on the fourth day sometime, doesn't it? Comes on the fourth day, just when you're ready to give up. Just when you're ready to say, "Lord, I'm throwing in the towel. I can't go any longer." That's when help comes. He always shows up just in time. See, if you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, "Give in," just hold on. Because our Lord will show up. And he'll take you through the fire again. He'll take you over another mountain again, won't he? But you know what? That's to strengthen us. That's so that you grow. That's so that your faith grows. It's wonderful to serve a God. And sometimes you think God is silent. You think he's not, "Lord, where are you?" You think he's not listening. But his promise is, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." His promise is, "I'll be there." And he's there. And God has much more in store, much more in mind for each of you. Isaiah 40, 31, one of my favorite verses says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I want to encourage you to study the life of the eagle. There's so many similarities to God himself. In fact, my pastor told me one time, God likens the eagle as to himself. So study the life of the eagle. And that verse I've stood on when my husband was so sick, when my children were going through things, I've stood on that verse of scripture. Another one, "Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap." Ye will reap if we faint not. If we don't quit, you're going to reap. If we don't give up, we're going to be winners in the end. He says to delight ourselves in the Lord's, and he will bring it to pass. And I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's don't forget that verse. "If my people," you know, we're at a crossroads in America. We need prayer like we've never prayed. We need to stand on God's word like we've never stood on his word. Because I truly believe that this election is going to determine the course of our nation. Pray and ask God how you should vote. But vote. You know, only 20% of Christians voted in 2012. I've talked to ministers that said, I've never even registered to vote at 70 years old. I said, you got to go register. Churches are putting registration tables in the foyer of the churches to make sure people are registered. You know, it's important, and that's part of our responsibility as a child of God. I don't think it's something that we should neglect. We should go vote. And you may say, well, my vote won't count. Well, if a million people say that, what have you got? And if you don't go vote, who are you giving it to? You're giving the election. Talk with one of my Christian friends. She's a minister in her 80s. She said, I'm just praying that all the Christians will stay home and not vote. I said, you got to be kidding me. You can't do that. I said, do you want America to stay where it's been? We got to vote. And I don't know why I'm getting off there, but I did. But that's everything we do. Everything we do is preparing us for heaven. You know, the kingdom of God is within. So the kingdom of God is here. But what we do here is preparing us for heaven. So even that, and you know, I want to see our country blessed. What about you? You know, I'm reminded, well, God showed me two armies when I was studying this. And from the moment that I started studying, I'm not usually this dry. I think it's because I'm got nervous. But anyway, God showed me two armies. One army was weak, half-clothed, despondent, falling down. But the other army was vibrant, healthy, strong, radiant, had on the full armor of God. You know, this is what God is calling us to right now. To be that army that is strong, vibrant. As you'll hear Nancy tell about the next 7 years tonight. God has an army out here. And I'm going to bring this out because this was prophecy from another person. So we guard prophecy as to whether it comes true, right? But her prophecy was, watch it when Billy Graham goes home. Okay? Because when Billy Graham goes home, and this is what she said the Lord told her, but it stayed with me. It hasn't left. He's going to release the Joshuas, and this is this army. He's going to release the Joshuas, and you know Joshua did more in 3 days than Moses did in 40 years. He's going to release the Joshuas over this land, and then we'll see the end time revival really kick off, really begin. Maybe God's already told you what he has planned for you. Maybe he's already showed you. You know, I remember hearing a statement. There's more books, there's more songs, there's more messages in the cemetery. That's because we never fulfill the destiny or the plan that God has for our life. We procrastinate, we put it off. I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. I'll write that book next. I'll start next week, Lord. And then we never do it. And you know, Oral Roberts made this statement. He wasn't the first person that God called to have a healing ministry or college. He was just the first person that says, yes, Lord, I'll do it. So there again, it's important that we say, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, don't remind me of your age. Just do it. Lord doesn't see age. He doesn't see color. And he loves us all. He's fair. He's just. And I'm reminded of my daughter. And Nancy likes for us to give testimonies. And I love testimonies. Revelation 12:11 says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's been about 20, 25 years ago. My daughter was caught selling drugs. And at home. She stayed in jail over the weekend. I got her out on Monday. The judge gave her 3 months intensive probation. She had to be home by 6 o'clock. I mean, it was very strict. She went through it with flying colors. It scared her straight. This scared her straight. That's what she says, Mom. It scared me straight. I was working, and I wanted to ask the manager to give her a job. And I just couldn't make myself go do it. I got a friend too. The friend said, she told her, no. The Lord kept saying, go ask her. Put it off for 2 weeks. Finally, I had to. You know, if it's God, he's not going to leave you. He's gonna keep nudging you and keep you till you do what he says do, right? And so I walked in the office and I said, Sarah, my daughter needs a job. She looked up at me. Oh, Lillian, tell her to come down here. She gave her a job. She worked perfect there every day. She raised a daughter for 13 years. It never missed a day in school. So, and now she's a teacher, and she's just put in for her master's. So my daughter was a good girl, you know. She just got off into that she shouldn't have. But 3 months later, we had to go before the judge, and I just knew the judge was going to give her more intensive probation since that's what she had had. But the judge gave her 10 years. 10 years. 3 years incarcerated. 7 years since she had a little 2 or 3 year old. I went home, went to the corner of my bedroom, and I cried out to God. I said, God, how can I see a daughter, maybe a son? But God, how can I see a daughter? I said, no. I said, Lord, I thank you. I said, no, Lord, that's too much to ask. I said, no, Lord, your word says nothing is impossible with you. I thank you. My daughter won't spend one day. I walked out of that bedroom. 2 weeks later, it started rolling in my spirit. I'd go to bed with it. Lord, I thank you. My daughter won't spend one day. I'd wake up with Lord, I thank you, my daughter won't spend one day. Two weeks later, I told her, I said, Sherry, honey, if this is God, you won't spend one day. Well, she made such a good hand at work that they wrote letters. They wrote a letter and had people to sign it, sent it to the judge, and the church did the same thing. But about 3 months later, and I don't know whether they do that today, this was 20 or 25 years ago, they had to prepare a place for her. So they were coming together on Tuesday. We didn't know that, of course. But on Monday, the attorney called. And she called me as soon as I got home. And she said, Mama, I wouldn't call him back from work. I waited till I got home. But guess what? I said, you don't have to spend one day. She said, no, Mama, I don't. The judge changed the order. She did not spend one day. God is a God of the impossible. But God saw, I think, my heart. I thought it was coming out. I thought it was coming out of me. Because how do you see? A son? No, you don't want to see either one. You love them both. But a daughter, I knew she was a good girl, and I knew that, but God, thank you, Lord. She did not spend one day. God is good. If you've got children that are going through the drugs and things, I've been through it. I had a daughter. All of you probably got tired of hearing me say, please pray for Kaylee. Hear a prayer request. Please pray for Kaylee. She's 18 months free. 18 months free. That's a calling on her life. She's doing great. But, you know, it would be hard to live. I can't imagine. Because when I was growing up, I was very protective. So it would be very hard to imagine children that get, you know, getting involved with all of the drug, the things that are out there today for them. So they need, they really need our prayer. But you know, when I look at it, as I've gotten older, there's two roads. You're both young. There's two roads in life. One is the right way. One is the wrong way. You know that drugs, alcohol, things like that, is the wrong way. It leads to destruction. It leads to death. But the road to life is through Jesus Christ. It's through the Bible. That's eternal life. So that you can have a good ending. And you know, God sees our life from beginning to end. He knows what it's taken to get us to where we are today. But you know, it may take more. We don't know what we're going to face in these next years. But it pays us. It's going to pay us to be watching, to be ready, to be full of the Spirit, and being obedient. What is Nancy teaching? Repent, submit, and obey. So God's still working on us. God's a promise keeper. Can God use broken people? Have you been broken? Look at Abraham. He lied about his wife. But he held on to the promise. How long did he wait? 20 years. Oh, I want to say about my daughter. She has, before I forget, she has a complete pardon today. She's been working with the school system for 18 years. So, and she can vote today. But Jesus was moved by compassion. Abraham held on to the promise. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham's promise that he would become the father of many nations. Even when God told him to offer Isaac, you know, on the mountain. Can you imagine how he felt when he was climbing that mountain? But what did he say? He said, son, God will provide. God will provide a sacrifice. And God did. God did. He tested Abraham, to no end. God provided the sacrifice. What about Moses? 40 years in the king's court, 40 years in the desert, and then God called him at 80 to lead the children out of Egypt. And what did he say? God, I'm same thing I probably said just a few months ago. Lord, my speech is not perfect. You know, it reminded me of Moses. But God had a plan. He had a destiny. He saved Moses from a baby, remember? And his ending was that he was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. What about Jonah? He ran from God, spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. But in the end, none of it was saved, wasn't it? What about Noah? God told him to build an ark. Didn't hear from him again for 120 years. But he built the ark and it saved his family. In the end, it saved his family. What about David? David was an adulterer, murderer. He was destined to be king, wasn't he? But he had a heart after God. What about Joseph? Sold into slavery, stayed in prison 13 years. But he went from the prisoner, from being a prisoner, to a prime minister in one day. Does God care? Yes. God gives us these examples to help us as we travel through our journey to hold on in faith. Faith is now. Faith is now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And sometimes sight can be an enemy to faith because we want to see it today. We want to see it now. But we don't always do that. What about Esther? I love the story of Esther. Esther was a slave girl. She was destined to be queen to save her people. Esther was born for such a time as this. And we, many of you, were born for such a time as this. You've got callings on your life. There's destinies for you that God wants you to grab hold of. Uta, how old were you when you started dancing? 45. And Sarah, how old was she when she started playing the guitar and singing? She was in her 40s, probably 50s. Probably 30s, okay. But I'm saying that to say, don't look at your age. And you know, most people, and I heard this explained this week, when they reach 70, they're getting ready to die. They start thinking death. They start planning death. And they expire shortly because they get disabled, they get dysfunctional, they get Alzheimer's. But God says, speak life. Speak the word of God. Speak life. I will live and not die to proclaim the glory of God. So a little girl in my church, a lady, had cancer that was terminal. They didn't give her any hope. Heard a prayer over her one night, and in that prayer, this preacher said twice, "Ye shall live and not die to proclaim the glory of God." Several of us in the church grabbed hold of that. Every time we'd walk by, Gail, you're going to live and not die to proclaim the glory of God. We started speaking it everywhere. I want you to know that girl is alive today. Married with 2 children, very much alive, very strong in the Lord. There's power in the Word. Power in the Word of God. If you want to be a strong army, learn who you are in Christ, but learn to use the name of Jesus. And I want to share this with you. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago, I call it a vision or call it a dream, but I thought the enemy came to take me, okay? And it was like I was in my bed, but it was like something had both hands and something had both feet. And I felt the terror. I felt the fear. And it was inside. I heard say, Jesus. And I couldn't get it out. I said, Jesus. Couldn't say it. But I kept on. Finally, I could get it out. Jesus. 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 It left. But it came back stronger. But I was stronger. I started screaming, Jesus. And I thought it was a vision. Kaylee's got to hear me. She's in the other room. She's got to hear me screaming. But I kept screaming, Jesus, and the enemy left. I turned over and went back to sleep. I woke up the next morning with a song on my heart, Evelyn. Once again, I faced Satan this morning. And I battled him all the night long. In my weakness, God sent reinforcement. And now I can sing victory song. The sun's coming up in the morning. That's the title of the song. It rolled in my heart. I went to church that night and I had to get up and share it. Several women came up and told me that was just rolling in their spirit. But it rolled for weeks. Once again, I faced Satan this morning. God shows us. I think it happened to show me the power that's in the name of Jesus. That's our weapon. That's what we need when we face the enemy. It's like your gun. You can use it, and the enemy has to flee. He can't cross the bloodline. another night that God showed me such a strong version of this. I was walking up, you know how the back of a warehouse is, and there's steps up the back. I was walking up the steps, you know, the trucks back up to the warehouse, and I looked back, and there was a looked like a 6-foot bear with his arm up reaching. And I looked down, and I had something all over my shirt. And I thought, what is on my shirt? He's after that. So I thought, I got to get this shirt off. But I was on the landing, and I couldn't get inside. Looked back, and there was two of them. And it was say, Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus. And all at once, there was a bloodline from 12 to 15 feet to my right, all the way around to my left. There were hundreds of bears on the other side of that bloodline. They were lurching and jumping, but they couldn't cross it. I stood there looking at them saying, Jesus, the power that's in this name. Jesus, they can't cross it. Awesome, awesome realization of what the Lord is and what he can do. What about Anna? Anna was widowed after 7 years. She spent the next year, 60 years, praying in the temple. But you know, she prayed in the promises of God, and she got to hold the promise in her hands. Jesus, she got to hold the promise before she expired. If we hold true to God, we are definitely going to be winners in the end. And it will be worth it all. It's worth everything we go through. It's worth every trial, every temptation, every disappointment. It's worth it all. You know, God is so good to us. When my mother passed, I went to a service I was in the office in Athens working. And couldn't get back to Elberton in time for the meeting that night, so I called my friend. The Lord said, call Linda to go with her. Never knowing it was set up. It was a set up. God set it up. Does he ever set you up? So I went to church with her. And at the beginning, they all go up front, and the preacher will pray for him before he preaches. So he came over to me, and he said, Lillian, the Lord told me you were going to be here tonight. I said, well, I didn't even know till 6:30 I was going to be here, you know. But he said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong. But the Lord told me to tell you everything's going to be all right. We all went back and sat down. It wasn't 20 minutes till I was called home. They were taking my mother to the emergency room. And I just told my sister the night before, you know, my mother was a wonderful woman. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. But I said, I never really saw her pray openly, you know, like I would have liked to. And I said, I just don't know if I could take it. If something happened to Mama, we called her Mama, I have to know everything's going to be all right. So, you know, the preacher said everything's going to be all right. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I just knew. She was going home Saturday. Everything was going to be okay. She did go home. 4:30 Saturday morning. And then it dawned on me, Lord, you sent the word ahead of time that everything was going to be all right. He's our Father. He's our protector. He's our Lord. And he has us in the palms of his hands. You know, if we could just learn, and I'm probably the most guilty, if we could just learn to obey, to listen and obey, we wouldn't go through a lot of these things that we have to go through. And another, one person that I love in the Bible, too, is Ruth. All of you know the story of Ruth. Has God ever told you he's going to make you a woman like Ruth? I was studying one Sunday morning on the couch, and I heard a woman like Ruth, and I said, what's that for, Lord? I just dismissed it. And 2 weeks later, my pastor from the front said, God might have told some of you 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, he's going to make you a woman like Ruth. And I sit straight up. Lord, that's why I heard that. You know, God has a way of just opening up things, your revelations that just blesses you so much. A woman like Ruth. So he may have told some of you, he's going to make you a woman like Ruth. If he does, hang on to it, because he will. He will someday. But to think of Ruth, Elimelech, Naomi, how they left Moab, how they left the land of bread, how they went to, they left Bethlehem to go to Moab, which David called his ashpot. They worshipped idols. Elimelech took money, gold, silver, cattle. He thought, I'll go there, and they're prospering, so I'll be okay until the famine is over in Bethlehem, and then we'll come back. But he never got back. He died in Moab out of the will of the Lord. He never got back, but before he died, he lost all of his animals, all of his money. Everything was gone. He had a plan. He made the plan to go to Moab to be protected so his family wouldn't starve. But it wasn't God's plan. Okay. He could have stayed in Bethlehem and helped people there, but he chose to leave. So Naomi was left without a husband. Then her two sons married Moabite women. And you all know the story of Ruth. And then her two sons passed away. So Naomi was left with two daughter-in-laws, nobody to carry on her name. And she decided to go back to Bethlehem. And you know back then they had to, like if I was trying to get you not to do something, I'd have to do it three times according to the custom, the law. So at the second time, Oprah went back. Oprah decided to stay. But Ruth said, wherever you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. So they went back to Bethlehem. And you know the story of how Ruth was gleaming in the fields of Boaz. And how Boaz told the reapers to drop handfuls on purpose. Is God dropping handfuls on purpose for you? Yes, he does, every day. Handfuls of peace, handfuls of blessings, handfuls of whatever. We may not even recognize it, but he drops them every day. Every day. Ruth didn't know that she was going to own that field, that she was going to get to command the reapers. But you know the story of how Boaz was her kinsman's redeemer, and how Boaz and Ruth got married. Do you know that Boaz was the son of a harlot, Rahab? Know that Ruth was the daughter of a Moabite king. They offered and sacrificed the babies on the altars and worshipped idol gods. And you know, as I studied this, I could have took the whole story from Ruth and Boaz. But do you know that they were the grandparents of King David? They got married and had a son, Isaac. And Isaac was the grandparent, great-grandparent of King David. Huh? And then Jesus was the great-great-grandchild. I think I'm getting the numbers correct for King David. So God used a harlot's son. He used a Moabite princess who was into idol worship to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So does God use broken people? Does God not give favor upon the people like that that he uses? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So he knows your end from the beginning. Can we miss God? Yeah, we can miss God. But you know, God has a way. We may be like Naomi's husband. We may never get back from that place called there. May never get back. So it's important that we're sensitive to the Spirit, that we obey God. And I'm going to change the way I'm going just a little bit. I'm reminded of Jacob, too. The God of your successes is also the God of your struggles. The God of your victories is also the God of your defeats. Think about that. He's also the God of your defeats. The God of your triumphs is also the God of your trials. He permitted Job to be tried, didn't he? He knew he would come forth. And he says we can come forth as gold, tried in the fire, but we'll come forth. And when you know the story of Jacob, he wrestled. I'll call him an angel. Some say it's the incarnate Jesus. But I'll say he wrestled with the angel all night. It was almost daybreak. And the angel was said, "Why won't you let me go?" Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." What was the question that the angel asked him? When he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me," he said, "What is your name? What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." This is the same Jacob who lied to his father, the same Jacob that took the blessing from Esau, the same Jacob that put animal hair on his right hand and deceived his father into receiving the blessing, the right hand blessing. But you know what? God knew that. God knew Jacob had lied about his age. God knew that was in his heart. And see, God knows if there's any lie, if there's any sin in our hearts that might keep us from the destiny that he has planned for us. And I believe that's why he said, "What is your name?" Jacob said, "My name is Jacob." And he said, "No more will your name be called Jacob, but Israel." Israel means triumphant with God. It's not always in our successes, but sometimes in your struggles, that God will show us who we really are. And we see throughout the Bible that sometimes Jacob is called Jacob, sometimes he's called Israel, right? And you know, when Moses confronted God on the mountain, and he said, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they asked, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "Tell them, 'I am who I am. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.'" So he changed his name, but he still uses the name of Jacob. I think he changed his name so he would repent of what he had did years earlier. When Jacob was renamed, he had two wives and sons. But he went on to, he was the father of Joseph and Benjamin, right? And you know how Jacob had to work 14 years for Rebekah. And how Rebekah's father also deceived Jacob. See, we were talking about something. If it's not dealt with, it goes on in our family lines. So that wasn't dealt with. So Jacob was deceived by his father-in-law. And why would he refuse to let Benjamin be named Benoni? Benoni, I may not be pronouncing that exactly right, meant son of sorrow. Benjamin, do you know what Benjamin means? Do you know what it means? Son of my right hand. He was still wanting that right hand blessing. And when he realized that, hey, I've got a right hand. I'm a father. I can give my son the right hand blessing. So this, he changed his name, and fathers had the name in rights. So he didn't want to think of Benjamin as Benoni, son of my sorrow. He wanted to think of him as son of my right hand, a blessing, a blessing. So as we see in Scripture, and I'm bringing that out to say this, God knows you. God knows us. He knows what's in us. Your sorrow can become your strength for tomorrow. He knows if there's something there that we need to get out, something that maybe you've never told anyone. You may be struggling. With something that you've never shared, something that God keeps nudging at you. But it comes up. It comes up and it hinders you. It hinders you from ministering to people. It hinders you from moving forward into the destiny and the calling of your life. And God says, like David cried in Psalms 51, renew me, O Lord. Restore me, O Lord. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This is what I truly believe that God is wanting for his people today, to stand up. Take your authority. Realize who you are. Use the name of Jesus and take back what the enemy has stolen from us all of these years. All of these years. So we can move into our destiny. But we've got to come clean. We got to come clean with the Lord. And you know, there's something in my heart. After I said yes that morning, I got to thinking, Lord, there's something in my heart. It's been here for years. I've never shared with anybody. I was always ashamed to tell anybody. And I would never share. So Pastor Walker called me back that afternoon and I said, I got to share something with you. Can I share something with you? He's a precious man of God. I said, something happened in my life several years ago that I've never told, I've never shared with anybody. And I told him all about it. And you know, that lifted. Then God gave me the message to teach at the Aglow meeting. It lifted, and after all those years, I carried that weight. I carried that burden. Ashamed to tell anybody. But God knew it all along. God knew it all along. And just what, 2 months ago, I was able to release it. I could not be here, I don't believe, today, sharing with you. You know, God has protected me. God has helped me. God has provided. But I couldn't be standing in the freedom that I'm standing in today if I had not just opened up and repented of holding that. You know, repented of not getting it out years ago. Because it hinders our walk with the Lord. He wants us to have clean hands and a pure heart. He said only those with clean hands and a pure heart will enter heaven. But he gives you, you that are young, you have such a wonderful road ahead of you if you follow the Lord. And grab hold of his promises. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be times that you're going to be tested. You're going to be pulled. You're going to be tried. But do like Joseph. I like to think of Joseph. When Joseph was tried by Potiphar's wife, he ran, didn't he? I tell the young people sometimes, run, Dustin, run. Run from the temptation. Don't give in to it. Run. But God is so good. I don't know what time it is. Nancy's not here, though. 5 till 5. Any questions, any comments that you would like to share before she gets here? I'll share that with you. And let me share this with you too. What may be a struggle, call it a strength. What may be a struggle, call it a strength. What may seem like a setback, call it a setup for victory. What may feel like rejection, call it a redirection. A redirection. God is with you. He is for you. And he is God over everything in your life from beginning to end. And your gold, our gold, listen, if you've got dreams and prophecies like Joseph, don't ever turn them loose. Because God's going to bring them to pass if you'll hold firm and not faint, not give up. But the three things, Evelyn, the God of your successes is also the God of your struggles. He's just hard to see him sometimes. One time I said, Lord, why are you silent? Where are you? Went with a friend of mine we were going to Fort Myers, went to her church, and she prophesied over me, and she said, you've been saying, God, why are you silent? I said, yeah, I have, Lord. She said, but God wants you to know he's hid a part of heaven from you. But you're going to have many dates with him, and he's going to show you everything he's hid from you. So at my age, Lord, it's got to be soon. But the God of your successes is also the God of your struggles. The God of your victories is also the God of your defeats. The God of your triumphs is also the God of your trials. He didn't promise the road would always be easy. But he did promise help would come in time. So he's for you. He's not against you. And the enemy of our souls comes against the mind. You know that. Comes against the mind. So renew your mind. Renew your mind with the promises of God. I am above. I'm not beneath. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll raise a standard against him. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Find the nuggets in the word that the promises of God, because he's a promise keeper, and you will see them. I'm saying from years of walking with the Lord, you will see them come to pass. He's not a God that can lie. He's truth and life and hope. And everything else. So just search your hearts. Search your hearts. And know that if there's something there and God is leading you to repent of it. Or you may I had to talk with somebody. I've repented and repented and repented. But I had to share it. It wouldn't leave me till I shared it. And I cried. And then I thought, it was so silly, and it was so The enemy had built it into such a mountain that it really was not. So God bless you, keep you, anoint you, fill you with his promises. Okay.
Praise God.
And this lady makes me stretch. If you've got to stretch and get out of your comfort zone.
Amen.